It's been really good over the last few months to have had Steph's video diary reflection, call it what you like. Every week, Steph has presented us with his take on a different part of the Bible, and it's been really encouraging and challenging to hear what he's had to say. A little while back, he took us through some of the chapters of Nehemiah, and we're going to remind ourselves of Nehemiah's story today so that we can hear again what God has got to say to us through that story, that book in the Bible, and through Steph, who, although I think he's on holiday at the moment, is going to speak to us today via video. So we'll reflect on the Bible, we'll read some of the Bible together, and we'll hear from Steph right now.
This week, we're going to be starting to look at a whole story that we find in the Old Testament, and that is the story of Nehemiah. And I think even though Nehemiah was around so long ago, it can really resonate with what's happening today, because the story of Nehemiah is essentially a story of a new beginning, a restart and a rebuilding project. I think that resonates with what's happening because actually in society there's been a lot of discussion about how we might have a new beginning or we might restart all different aspects of society as we come out of lockdown, whether that is restarting the economy or restarting schools, all these sorts of things. There's been a lot of discussion about how we might begin again, and maybe we can progress from this position that we're in and create a better society as well. I think that's true with the Black Lives Matter movement as well. There's been real discussion about how we can actually create lasting change in our society to create a better, more equal, more just, fairer society. And so I think Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, can really resonate with this theme of a new beginning. So Nehemiah, just to give you some context, grew up in a town called Jerusalem, which was the capital of a country called Israel. And in Nehemiah's day, that was before the Romans, there was a big empire called Babylon. And Babylon came and conquered Israel, conquered Jerusalem. And part of their method for conquering places is that they take the entire population and move them somewhere else. Nehemiah was in exile. He was in a foreign country. He wasn't in his hometown. He wasn't where his family and everyone else came from. And so he was in exile. And when one day, someone from his hometown, from Jerusalem, comes to him and starts to describe the terrible situation that the people of Jerusalem find themselves in. And this is what he says. So they said to me, that's Nehemiah speaking, they said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and distress. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. That's Nehemiah speaking. So Nehemiah has heard how his people are in great trouble and distress, and his first response is to break down and weep, to mourn for his brothers and sisters who are in trouble, in disgrace, and he mourns for them and he weeps. And then he turns to prayer and he prays to God. And this is what he prays. "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before the day and before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel." So first thing he does is he hears the trouble and disgrace that his people back in his hometown are facing. And he breaks down and weeps. And then he prays to God and he reminds himself how awesome God is, how good God is despite the situation, that God is faithful and is sticking with his people. And so he has hope in who God is. And then after he's reminded himself of that, he says this: "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." So first he mourns and then he repents. He humbles himself before God and says, "God, we have not been living up to what you want us to do." God calls us to love people, to love people as he loved us, and he died for us. That's how vast his love is for us, and that's what he is wanting us to do as his people. And Nehemiah realizes that him and all the other Israelites have not been upholding the law of God. They have not been loving each other as God commands them to. They have not kept themselves to be a people of hope as God called them to be. And when I look at society and how broken and divisive all sorts of things are in society, I feel we need to come to God and just say, "Sorry. Sorry, God, that we have messed this world up so much. And also help, Lord, help us to just break down those barriers in society. Help us to, yeah, reach the poor and the marginalized." The country of Israel had fallen well short of what God had created them to be, their purpose. God asked them to be a just and fair society, one that loved its neighbours and looked after others. But Israel had fallen well short of that, and so Nehemiah repented and said sorry to God. And at that time, it was for Nehemiah, it was a time where a vision was born in his mind of what the future could look like. He imagined that if he could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he imagined how that would bring honour back to the people there, that would stop their suffering, that would help them and alleviate their hardships. And so this time was a time where a dream was born in Nehemiah's mind. And this dream led to incredible bravery on Nehemiah's part. As I mentioned before, he was a servant to the king. And this is where we're going to pick up the story today. Just reading from chapter 2, which says this: "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.' I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king." In that moment, that required so much bravery from Nehemiah, because if the king had fancied it, if the king had taken offense to his request, he would have died. The king would have killed Nehemiah in that moment. It says that he was very afraid and he prayed to God before he answered the king. That dream, that vision of what the future could look like, got Nehemiah to step out in such courage and bravery. I wonder, do you have a picture of what you want the future to look like? What a dream for how you envisage something to be. It doesn't have to be like grand, big scale. Maybe it's just a broken relationship that you dream and you wish could be mended in the future. Well, I want to challenge you, if you have a vision, or maybe you don't have one and you need to spend some time thinking about actually what I want the future to look like, let that vision of the future, let that picture of a better future drive you to step out courageously to solve it. Perhaps if there is a broken relationship that you want to fix, A step of bravery might be reaching out to the other person. Pray to God, ask for his help in this. But let a better picture of the future motivate you to do good. God had given Nehemiah a picture of how the future could be, a picture of a better future. And God gave Nehemiah the way to do this as well. And so Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem with the plan in mind to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the city walls. And this would give them the security and the status they needed to get out of suffering, to get out of hardship. And we often find ourselves in difficult situations as well, whether that is in our personal relationships or whether that is the situation that society finds itself in as we continue to navigate this coronavirus pandemic and also the economic instability that we're facing. And God gives us a picture for a better future, a good and just and peaceful future. And he also gives us the way of getting there as well. He tells us to follow Jesus's example, to allow God to live in us and to direct us. And he says that through doing those things, we will be able to get to a time of goodness and abundance. But we'll all find, as Nehemiah did, that living out this vision for the future is hard work, and that often it will create challenges and opposition. And in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, he finds that there's a guy called Sanballat who starts mocking his work. And Sanballat says this: "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" You see, sometimes I think our situations can feel a bit like how Sanballat described the city walls, just burning heaps of rubble, and making a difference in that can feel as impossible as bringing stones back to life. As he says, can they bring these stones back to life? Well, no, that is impossible. And I mean, yeah, you look through the news and you see sometimes there literally is only burning heaps of rubble left. Take the situation in Yemen, for example, and whole cities have been bombed down. And so it can feel hopeless to try and make a change in this broken and hurting world. It can feel as hopeless as bringing a stone to life, which is impossible. Well, fortunately, we don't have to do this in our own strength. And funnily enough, maybe this is a coincidence, maybe it's not, the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, talks about God using living stones to build his kingdom, to build his house. And these living stones are us. It's you and me, Christians, who have the Spirit of God in them. And so God can do impossible things. He can bring stones to life. And he proved this by bringing Jesus, his son, back to life from the dead. And so we see that actually to bring about change in the world, to bring about hope in the world, cannot be done through our own strength, but only through God's. And Nehemiah demonstrates this to us because the first thing he does when he hears the mocking is get down on his knees and pray to God. He asks God for the strength to complete his mission and for protection as he carries on going. Because you see, the act of prayer is an act that just says, God, we can't do this on our own. We need your help. We need you to be working in us and working in these situations to bring hope and to bring goodness from these broken and desperate situations. So whatever situation concerns you at the moment, however hopeless it feels, know that God's kingdom of love, of peace, of justice can be built, but not by you, not by me, but only by his strength living in us and making all things new.